Grace to you and peace from the one who creates and redeems all the world to God's self. Amen. In this wonderful, powerful story of the healing of the blind man, I really mean it. I think it's pretty cool that Jesus spits in the Bible. It's one of those things that helps us remember how much like us Jesus was. But in this gospel, Jesus spits into the sand and into the mud, and he makes a little paste, and he puts it on the man's eyes. And for the first time since he was born, he sees light, color, and beauty. One would expect that as we read through that gospel, at some point, someone would celebrate. A blind man has been healed. He comes up from the waters of the pool of Siloam. There he is for the first time, once a beggar. Now he can see. He's got to be excited and delighted. And what happens? A theological argument. There's no party. There's no excitement. All they want to do is argue about how in the world this terrible thing of Brich has happened in the world. So the Pharisees, actually the disciples at first, want to know, Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents? Somebody's got to be responsible. And Jesus said, neither. He is blind so that God's glory might be revealed. Now, the Pharisees are really worried, those leaders of their time. And they're worried because a couple of terrible things have happened. Remember, all of this happened on the Sabbath. Jesus spat on the ground and he took the mud, and the Hebrew word is he kneaded it in his hand. An activity that is forbidden on the Sabbath. It's work. So here's this rabbi kneading on the Sabbath, and he has now committed a sin, and they are in a theological quandary. How could a good person, an upright, holy, believing person, sin and do good? Jesus hasn't followed the Sabbath. How could he have healed by the power of God? And so they set out on a journey to try and figure it out. Jesus has to be discredited for the rules to continue to be valid. But of course, we know part of what happens with so many stories in the gospel is that Jesus unhinges the rules so that light can shine. He breaks the Sabbath and brings light into this man's life for a purpose. The Pharisees and the disciples don't understand what the purpose might be. Like us, they get hooked on the rules. They're worried about the mechanism. One commentator said that maybe you could trace the beginning of denominationalism back to the two blind men that Jesus healed. Both of them were healed, and later they met. This is in the fantasy of this particular commentator. Later on, they met, and they began to discuss exactly what had happened. And one guy says, well, you know, he didn't really do anything. He didn't lay hands on me, and suddenly I could see. And the other guy said, no. No, he spit, and he made mud, and so that was the beginning of denominationalism. Same event, two views. The point of the story is God bringing light into the world. What happens to the man is so powerful, and he doesn't deserve it. Remember that in that time, and frankly, sometimes in our own time, if you were born blind or missing a limb, or if you had some defect, The common wisdom was that it was a punishment for something someone had done in your history. You were the punishment for your parents. Now, we feel that way about our children sometimes. And Jesus is saying no. But imagine how that man must have felt. Here he was blind his whole life, and undeserved and unlooked for, without being asked, Jesus puts mud in his eyes and heals him, and his life changes. But no matter how hard he tries to witness to his parents and to the Pharisees and to all the people, they just get hung up on the fact that he should still be blind. In the same way, Jesus offers us God's grace, unlooked for, unasked for, puts mud in our own eyes, and in the waters of baptism washes it out so that we can see and see differently. When the second lesson talks about children of the light, I can't help but believe that it isn't just that we are light, but that in the light of God, we see things differently. Jesus didn't see the beggar as a blind man in the way, but as an opportunity to glorify God. Undeserved, unasked for, he not only gets to see physically, but he gets to see spiritually, not only the man Jesus, but the Son of Man, Savior of the world. And he becomes that day a disciple. Having had our own eyes washed in the waters of baptism, the question comes for us, will we be children of light? It's been given to you. It's been shared. It's been poured on you like a storm of waters. What will you do with it? Do you want to be children of light? Do you? It is just that reticence to answer the question that worries me and that should worry all of us. Because part of it is that despite the wonderful spiritual music, what is the matter with you people today? We're not used to answering the question honestly and freely. We're afraid of altar calls, and we're afraid to say to one another and to the world, yes, yes, we want to be children of the light. We want to see Jesus. And not only see him through the mirror dimly, but to see him with eyes cleared of the cobwebs, mud washed out of our eyes, and share the word of Jesus' power and Jesus' grace and Jesus' love to a world desperate to hear it. That's what being children of the light is all about. Note that Jesus sends the man to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He didn't send him to the one that was named Sit. Do you want to be children of the light?
Yes.
Bob, yes, for God's sake.
Yes.
Thank you. That was so Luther. Yes, all right, we'll be children of the light. If you say we have to be children of the light, we'll be children of the light. There is something deeply evangelical about this story. That the guy doesn't just go back to sitting on his rock and begging just like he always had, but he goes out into the world as Jesus' disciple. Not hooked on sin, not worried about the rules, not contemplating the vagaries of the theological principles of hamartia versus some other kind of sin, not worried about the rules of the Sabbath, but broken open, made new. We too are called to be children of the light, Jesus of Nazareth. Is that who we will be? Shall we be children of the light?
Yes.
Amen.